Good morning. My name is Felicia, and I will be your conference facilitator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Mexico's Report on Public Finances and Public Debt, Third Quarter 2005, hosted by the Mexican Ministry of Finance and Public Credit and presented by the Undersecretary of Finance and Public Credit, Mr. Alonso Garcia-Temez, Mr. Alejandro Werner, Head of Economic Planning Unit, and Mr. Geraldo Rodriguez, Head of Public Debt Unit. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer period. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Mr. Garcia-Temez, you may begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Mexico's Ministry of Finance conference call for on the public finances and public debt report for the third quarter of 2005. I would like to go over the main macroeconomic developments, the main figures for the public finances, and at the end on the main figures also for public debt. And then I will be joined by Alejandro Werner, who is the head of Macroeconomic Policy Unit, and Gerardo Rodriguez, who is the head of Public Credit Unit, and we will move to the question and answer section. I would like to comment before we start also that as we commented on the last conference call, this is an off-the-record conference call. The purpose is to provide the main investors and analysts with the information related to the public finances and public debt. And it's not the intention of this conference is to provide information that goes that goes to the media. So we would like to remind our friends from the different media that this is an off-the-record conference. Let me start on the macroeconomic developments. Economic activity accelerated in the third quarter of 2005. Exports, private consumption, and investment were the most dynamic components of this expansion. We estimate that GDP grew at an annual rate of 3.5% during the third quarter. The positive indicators in the third quarter comprise the following. First, sales by National Retailers Association, which is known as ANTAD, and Walmart, increased at annual rates of 9.4% and 14.7% respectively. Private investment posted an 11.5% annualized growth rate in July, according to seasonally adjusted data. Total exports increased 13.5% in annual terms, with manufacturing exports growing at 9.3% and exports of oil products going substantially up to a level to a growth of 40.1% on an annual basis. Imports grew also at a rate of 12.1%. And all the components on imports had a pretty strong rates of growth. Consumption grew 21.7%, capital imports grew 15.9%, and intermediate good imports grew at 9.9%. In July-August, industrial production accumulated a 3.5% annualized growth. Automotive production expanded at an annual rate of 7.2% in August and 7% in September. In the first 2 months of the quarter, the production of services expanded at 4% annually, implying an annualized growth of 10.6% using seasonally adjusted data. The IGAE, this is the GDP proxy, posted a 3.2% annual increase in July, in the period comprising July and August. Consumption was supported by the positive evolution of employment and growth of credit. The number of employees insured at the Social Security Institute grew by almost 223,000 workers in the third quarter. This is the largest increase in the last 5 years. In addition, from the end of last year to October 15, a net creation of 577,000 jobs was registered. Banking credit to the private sector grew 31.6% in annual terms in August. And within this item, I would like to mention that consumer credit and mortgages grew at an annual rate, at annual rates of 44.7% and 43.5%. And credit to businesses increased at 22.7% annually. Inflation slowed down during the third quarter, dropping from 4.33% in June to 3.51% in September. Let me move now to the main public finances figures. During the period that is covered by the report, the January-September period, the fiscal balance accumulated a surplus of 101.6 billion pesos and a primary surplus of 273.1 billion pesos. Revenues in the first 9 months reached 1,426.9 billion pesos, which is 4.6% higher in real terms than the revenues that were observed in the same period in 2004. These revenues exceeded by almost 80 billion pesos the amount that was projected in the fiscal program due to the following factors. First, 54.3 billion pesos from oil revenues. Second, a little bit over 22 billion pesos from public entities under direct budgetary control, different than Pemex. Third, 6.4 billion pesos from non-tax revenues. And this was partially compensated by a drop of the federal or of the federal government's non-oil tax revenues of 4.4 billion pesos. Oil revenues grew at 7.2% in real terms due to the increase in international oil prices. Non-oil tax revenue grew at 5.1% in the third quarter in real annual terms. And among its components, the most important ones are that value-added tax revenue grew by 6.3% and income tax collection grew by 5.2% in real terms. During the first 9 months of the year, the public sector's total budgetary expenditure was 1,329 billion pesos, which is an increase in real terms of 3.4% compared to the previous to the figure of the previous year. Primary spending was 1,166 billion pesos, which means an increase of 4% in real terms with respect to the same period of 2004. Within public spending, it is worth stressing two things. First, in the first 9 months of 2005, budgetary investment and investment fostered by the public sector increased at annual rates of 9.5% and 13.2% respectively. And second, the government continues to improve the structure of current expenditures by reducing spending on administrative areas in order to make room for increasing expenditure on social development areas. And therefore, in the January-September period, the public sector wage bill grew 2.6% annually. And within this item, personal expenditure on social development areas increased 4.3%, and expenditure on administrative areas diminished 6.7%. The financing cost of the public sector decreased 1.2% in real terms with respect to the first 9 months of last year. This was due mainly to lower expenses in real terms on lenders and borrower support programs, which are the programs that resulted from the banking rescue program, as well as on interest payments on external debt. The reductions offset the increase in real terms of the domestic financing costs that resulted from increased interest rates. Let me move now to comment the main points on the public debt. At the end of the third quarter of 2005, Mexico's net public sector debt totaled 23.1% of GDP, which is one-tenth of a percentage point lower than the figure registered at the end of 2004. The result is attributable to an increase in net internal debt of 1.2 percentage points of GDP with respect to the level that was recorded at the end of 2004, and a decrease in net external debt of 1.3 percentage points of GDP with respect to the balance that was observed at the end of 2004. These outcomes reflect the policy decision of financing entirely the public sector deficit in the domestic financial markets. In particular, the net indebtedness has been obtained mainly through the issuance of six-month CETES and nominal fixed-rate development bonds. As a result, during the first three quarters of the year, the average maturity of domestic government securities increased 90 days, moving from 1,071 days to 1,161 days. Among the external debt management operations that took place in the third quarter, it is worth mentioning the prefunding of the resources needed to cover the external debt obligations of 2006 and 2007 through the purchase of $2.9 billion of the international reserves of Banco de Mexico. This operation allowed us to continue to reduce the vulnerability of the public finances to external shocks. Finally, I would like to highlight that during the third quarter of the year, the federal government continued to implement measures to promote transparency. In September, we released the Strategic Guidelines for Public Debt Management. This document sets forth the foundations for managing public debt, which are based on the minimization of financial costs with due consideration of the risks entailed by the government portfolio. In addition, a section dedicated to provide detailed information on public debt management was included in the internet site of the Ministry of Finance. With these measures, we continue to strengthen the communication between market participants and government authorities in accordance to international best practices. And with this, I will finish my comments, and we would welcome any questions that you may have. Thank you very much. Operator?
Yes, sir?
Yes. We can now move to the question and answer section.
Okay. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Alfredo Thorne with J.P. Morgan.
Alonso and Alex and Gerardo, how are you? Thank you very much for the feedback. I have two questions. One is on growth. In terms of estimating the third quarter, the 3.5%, if we calculate that on a quarter-on-quarter basis, that implies that you guys are expecting a huge expansion in the third quarter, like 10% at annualized rates. Or are you believing that INEGI is going to revise back the numbers? And the second question I have is on the 2006 budget that is being discussed in Congress. It has a substantial stimulus in the budget, and I want to know if that's the way it's going to proceed or you have other measures to curb spending in 2006.
One moment, Alfredo. Alfredo, let me take on the second on the second question. The spending that is that could result from the approved income income law for next year shows an increase with respect to the proposed budget for 2005. Now, a different story would result if you compared the proposed budget for 2006, or what could result from the budget on 2006, if you compare it to the real trajectory of spending. We, according to our estimates, we are not seeing a big increase if you compare the realized budget, the real spending that we're gonna have during the year, versus what is estimated to be spent in 2006. So related to the second question. I would like to ask Alejandro to take on the first question, on the growth question.
Actually, we are not assuming a lot in these numbers, because I mean 2/3 of the information is already in. So taking into account that with the numbers for July and August, the IGAE grew at 3.2. This already implies a rate of growth for this two-month period, taking away the seasonal component, of around 1.5% per month. So in a sense, for September, we are assuming a very conservative month-on-month growth, and even taking into consideration this conservative assumption, obviously we have a significant de-seasonalized rate of growth for the third quarter of the year. But I think it's pretty reasonable given what we have seen in the first 2 months of the quarter. I mean, just repeating myself, basically the annualized, the seasonalized rate of growth for the July-August period was around 18%. So going to something around 10, as you were saying, implies a significant drop in the September number, so a very conservative assumption for September. So the 3.5% assumption is, I think, pretty sensitive, especially given that we are seeing an important increase in employment, in exports, and in consumption for the month of September. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no further questions.
Okay, if there are no further questions...
I'm sorry, sir. Do have another follow-up from Alfredo Thorne.
Okay, very well. Thank you.
Alonso, on the 2006 budget, it's true that you're not... calling for a strong expenditure compared to 2005, but you have a large amount of oil windfall in that calculation. Aren't you concerned that a sharp decline in the oil price will make your public finances very vulnerable?
Well, we would obviously felt much more comfortable with the oil price that we incorporated in the budget that was sent to Congress. No? We thought that with the $31.5 per barrel, we were incorporating the recent developments on the oil market, and also we were being very conscious about and very conservative on the possibility of having a downward adjustment on the oil prices. So that's why we incorporated that price in our initial proposal. It would also have resulted in a structure of spending that was oriented more to the. To investment in states and we also felt that was a positive element in putting that that price of oil. The fact that this was increased by Congress does not really put public finances, according to what we are seeing in the market for on futures prices for next year, does not imply that we could be heading into trouble. However, the spending that might result from such adjustment definitely is less healthy than the one that would have resulted from a lower price of oil and then allowing the spending as we had accidents. No. However, we think that it's that the fact that the budget preserves the possibility of conducting these adjustments on spending, the automatic stabilizers, that provides us the guarantee that is needed for any adjustments that we might have to make. But nevertheless, we think that for the coming year, we don't see a very large possibility of having to implement those adjustments. No?
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Luis Arcentales with Morgan Stanley.
Two questions. First one on the ADE refund and the excess oil revenues. What are you expecting to hand out in November and February for the third and fourth quarters? And secondly, on economic growth and following up Alfredo's question, why did you not revise the 3.5% given not only market expectations but also Banxico painting a far more conservative picture as far as I can tell from yesterday's inflation report?
Hello. Yes, Luis, thank you very much for your question. We are estimating that we will be distributing in November 6 billion in November and 10 billion next February, according to our estimates at this stage. Now, on the re-estimation of growth for the year, for the 3.5 that was originally announced, we really think that it is that the Ministry of Finance should not be updating its estimates on growth, as the year progresses. We think that analysts are much better in doing so than the job that we could do. So we think that it is not necessary to provide with an official review of the growth estimates. No? On the first part of the question that you posted regarding growth, I don't know if you could repeat it because I couldn't get it.
It was exactly that about the 3.5, and given where most signs are pointing to a more conservative picture for the year. But you've answered that, I suppose.
Okay, very well. Thank you very much.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Shelley Shetty with Fitch Ratings.
Thank you, gentlemen, for your comments this morning. A couple of questions. One, if you could give us or tell us the status of the discussions on the new budgetary law. And my second question is, why are tax revenues underperforming compared to the program numbers that you had during the first three quarters of this year? Is it just that growth has been lower than expected, or are there some other factors that are at play?
Discussions on budgetary law are totally halted during the discussion of the budget that we have been immersed in the last in the last few weeks. So, for the moment, there's nothing going on that subject. Continues to be one of the pending items. No, could be again picked up in the last part of December once we finished the budgetary discussions. No, on the second question, I would ask Alejandro, which was on the estimates of income.
Yeah, basically, I mean, the main taxes are coming in rather well in the sense that, I mean, the VAT is growing at a real rate that it's above 6%, and the income tax is also growing at a real rate in annual terms above 5%, even taking into consideration that the marginal top rate for individuals went down, and obviously the rate for corporates has also gone down. The difference between these real increases and the shortfall that we have vis-a-vis the income law is basically because the income law was it had an overestimation associated to the 20 billion pesos that was added to the sum of the income tax and the VAT tax by legislators that were supposed to come about from the implementation of a new tax census that did not get the resources in the budget to be implemented. So in that sense, we are coming in rather above what is program if we adjust for this overestimation, and I think the numbers that we should be monitoring are basically the real rate of growth of these two taxes that are coming in above the real growth of the economy and above the real growth of consumption. So in that sense, we are seeing increases in tax efficiency during 2005. Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Eduardo Torres with Ben Comer.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for hosting this conference. I have a question. Could you tell us something about the picture for next year's public prices? Do you think they will remain within the Banxico's target of inflation? That would be my question. Thank you.
Okay. On gas, the tariffs will follow during 2006 a 4% adjustment on prices on annual terms. Gasoline will be increased by 3%, and electricity will be adjusted by 4%. Those are the main the main adjustments that we are going to be seeing next year. And with this, we think that public prices would move within the target of or consistent with the target that Banco de Mexico has established for inflation for the year.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, as a matter of fact, I do have another one question, and perhaps I missed it, and you have already addressed it, but it is regarding the costs of reconstruction from the latest hurricane, Vilmas. And could you give us, because, recently we have seen different numbers, different estimates. First, President Fox said it would be something around 12,000 million pesos, and but recently a few days ago somebody said it would be somewhere around 20 billion pesos, like twice the amount President Fox said. So could you provide us with a latest picture or your estimate on not only the amount but also the time you think reconstruction will be completed?
Yes, thank you. I will ask Alejandro to give you an answer on that. I mean, as a general comment, I think what we are seeing is numbers floating around, maybe referring to many things which are sometimes mixed up by the audience and by the way they are reported, no? Because some of these comments refer to the costs of reconstruction. Some of them are referred to the impact that it will have on GDP terms. So that might be part of the source of the confusion. The other part is obviously that it is, you know, it's of the damage is huge, and the estimation of the damage cost is very hard to it's very hard to assess. No,
but yes, I do agree.
I would ask Alejandro to give you some of the numbers we have come up with.
Yeah, just to complement, at this point we don't have, let's say, an official figure on the costs of the reconstruction. I mean, taking into consideration what we have spent in the past in similar phenomenon for the reconstruction. I mean, we have the numbers for, I think it was the Gilberto hurricane and Isidoro, and the numbers range between 4 billion pesos to 6 billion pesos. And in that sense, maybe this time we had a larger amount of destruction and the cost will be a little bit higher. On the other hand, there are also very important private sector resources coming in from insurance premium, etc., coming into the region for the reconstruction. So I think we'll have to wait and see a more detailed assessment of the cost. The important thing is that the range is between what we have seen in the past. The resources are available and have been made available to the different public sector entities that are working under the reconstruction, basically under the budgetary resources from then and from the fund of 4 billion pesos that from then has for the reconstruction part of the of this effort. On top of that, Congress is talking about making let's say an important effort in the budget for 2006 for the reconstruction, and on top of that we are anticipating the old windfall to the states that have been affected of the third and fourth quarter of the year, so they can have these resources available on these reconstruction efforts. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. At this time, there are no further questions. Mr. Garcia-Tamez, are there any closing remarks?
Just I would like to thank everybody for attending this conference call, and we will be inviting you to a new conference call in the next few weeks to discuss some of the budget results. Thank you very much again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.